family and friends so long as they are fully vaccinated. As of right now, people traveling into the U.S. for essential reasons do not have to be vaccinated, but that is changing as well. Around the start of the new year, essential travelers, such as truck drivers, crossing U.S. land borders will also be required to be fully vaccinated. The new rules are similar but not identical to plan requirements announced last month for international air travelers. A group of New York Congress members wrote a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer urging them to keep the current funding for housing, transportation, and immigration reform in the Build Back Better Act. Quote, "We can't negotiate the reconciliation bill to nothing," tweeted Congress member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The White House has conceded the $3.5 trillion package will have to be slashed in order to appease conservative Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Pamela Jayapal, chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and Senator Bernie Sanders said Medicare expansion is not up for negotiation in the reconciliation package. Currently in Washington, it's cloudy and 72 degrees. In New York, it's cloudy and 66. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBEI New York.
And just as a programming note, Leonard Lopate at Large will return tomorrow, Thursday at 1 p.m. It is now 1 minute past 2 p.m. Stay tuned for The Minefield. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Listen to WBAI, you probably like WBAI. If you encourage others to listen, you probably love WBAI. But if you donate to WBAI, you become WBAI. So you can vote in the local station board election and your family. It's easy to become family. Just donate to WBAI online at give2wbai.org. That's give, the number 2, wbai.org, or by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. If you want to keep the station alive, you have to be responsible because we are commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio. It's up to you. 212-209-2950.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. It is now 3 minutes past, or actually 4 minutes past 2 p.m. We're in the Minefield, which is usually hosted by Dr. James McIntosh, and I'm just hoping that he has unmuted himself so he can start his program. So, with that said, I hand the mic over to Dr. James McIntosh.
Hotep, assalamu alaikum, habari ghani. What's up? Welcome to The Minefield, a show where we explore explosive issues in black mental health. Our topic today is keeping your right mind, medical apartheid, COVID-19. I'm Dr. James McIntosh.
And I'm registered nurse, Richardina Theodore.
An article published in Infection Control Today in the year 2000 estimated that iatrogenic death, or deaths because of unfavorable responses to medical or surgical treatments, such as necessary medication, unnecessary surgery, infections acquired in hospitals, the negative effects of drugs, may be the cause of 250,000 deaths in the United States annually, making iatrogenic death the third leading cause of death in the United States. A 2021 study in last year's proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences shows that black newborn babies in the United States are more likely to survive childbirth if they are cared for by black doctors. But there's a three times more likely than white babies to die when looked after by white doctors. A study found various possible reasons for the disparity, but went on to say that the disparity in outcomes persists in several different estimates of the performance of white and black doctors with black babies, showing a mortality penalty for black newborns in both cases, but a penalty 53% smaller among those treated by black physicians. Our guest today is the brilliant young author of Message to the Millennials, Brother Reza Islam. He is on a nationwide tour speaking about medical racism. Welcome to the Minefield, Brother Reza.
Peace, peace. Assalamu alaikum. I'm truly honored to be on, my brother.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. We're very glad to have you here. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your education, your career, your beliefs?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised in Compton, California, the youngest of 10 children. I was born in the Nation of Islam in Muhammad Mosque number 54, and that is Compton chapter. My mother is a naturopathic doctor who was formerly a medical nurse. And when she saw the transition of everything from a mixture of naturopathic remedies, dietary solutions, and medications, she was at that turning point where they switched the majority of all of the solutions to pills. And that caused her to switch into naturopathy completely as a result. And of course, I went to Compton College. I did not graduate, but I did attend Compton College. My major was political science. And I felt that I would be best able to help my people as an influencer outside of politics, but possibly able to influence those within politics through education and by helping the people to understand their rights and overall education themselves. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much what I am. And of course, the author of the best-selling book, Message to the Millennials, which goes over a number of topics that this generation in particularly needs to know about in order for us to successfully move forward. And of course, it applies to all generations as well.
Thank you.
Brother Reza, thank you for sharing that with us. What is medical apartheid, and what are you doing here in New York regarding medical apartheid?
Yes, ma'am. Well, medical apartheid is the separation of a group of people or the discrimination of particular groups of people based upon a particular decision. It once was very famous over in South Africa dealing with the white versus the black under Nelson Mandela. But what we see now is a resurrection in sorts of apartheid on the basis of medical decisions, on the basis of a person's right to choose what they should put in their bodies. And so that is what this apartheid or this new resurrection of segregation has become. In New York, we have an event on the 17th, which is Sunday, dealing with the showing of the documentary film called Medical Racism. It features Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It features Minister Tony Muhammad of the Nation of Islam, which is the Western Regional Representative, Minister Farrakhan, and it goes over many different circumstances where vaccinations are concerned, and particularly how they have affected Black people here in America and throughout the world. Tuskegee, people thought was the worst, when Tuskegee is actually, I would say, the lightest of all circumstances, if we can even label it that. So we're going to show the film. We're also going to have a Q&A with medical professionals who are for and against mandates, and overall education for the people who show up, as well as solutions to help them with their dietary choices, as well as whatever choice they make to take the shot or not. But we do believe everyone simply deserves the right to choose, and that will be this Sunday.
Okay, so who are some of these people that you have on different sides of the issue? They're on different sides of the issue of the COVID-19 vaccinations or different sides regarding the mandates for taking the COVID-19 vaccinations?
They're actually on the sides of both, actually. It's on both ends. And for confidentiality, what we were asked by them was to not reveal their identities because of the climate that we're living in. So they would rather be anonymous for now until the day of the actual event, because stepping out in a whistleblower type of manner, which we do expect to have at least one or two whistleblowers as well present, it's very dangerous, potentially to their career, to their family, et cetera. But they are medical professionals. We have a few RNs, registered nurses, a few medical doctors, as well as, I believe, three naturopathic doctors and one herbalist. So we will see when that time comes. But they're definitely, you know, going to be people who are licensed and experienced there.
Okay. Actually, I've been invited to participate, and I'm certainly against the mandates. I will be I'll be there. Okay.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you for your help with that, my brother.
Thank you too, brother. All right.
Brother Rizzo, what do you hope to accomplish with this or these programs?
The ultimate move with this is to empower the people with education, with the proper information, and with the courage to stand up for what is right, for what is supposed to be legally upheld by the United States Constitution, for what is legally supposed to be upheld when it comes to the Hippocratic Oath and how medical professionals are supposed to conduct themselves when it comes to giving people informed consent, meaning the information on all the benefits of these shots, if there are any, and all of the detriments or the negatives when it comes to these shots, and also alternatives. That is true informed consent, and not to attack people for their right to choose when it comes to their own health and their own bodies. This has become very political. It has become even a religious and dogmatic, to say the least, where people cannot choose what goes in their bodies when at a certain point in this nation, we've seen it time and time again. When you try to force something on someone, it does not turn out good. And it comes under the veil of help, which we find very interesting, because if this was for health and to help the people, then there wouldn't be chemicals being placed in the air, chemicals being placed in the water, chemicals being allowed in the food, all FDA approved, mind you, when it comes to these different things. But when it comes to this, all of a sudden they say, well, we care about your health so much, when we don't necessarily see that to be the fact. So we want people to be educated, empowered, informed, and being given solutions when it comes to the right to choose.
All right. So, I have another couple of questions, but I think before I get to that, I want to make sure that people are able to attend this program. So how can people get info about the program, and how can they get in touch with you if that's necessary?
Absolutely. Currently, we have the information on a number of pages, but right now the Instagram page that I have set up, it is called The Most Censored. The Most Censored is the Instagram page, and the link in the bio on there goes to the flyer for New York, and it has all the information there where they can purchase the tickets as well. And there are two different showings. So we have a morning time, which is 11 to 3, and then we also have an evening showing from 4 to 8, and that includes the one-hour documentary. That includes the panel discussion and Q&A. And then it also, of course, includes the mixing, mingling, taking pictures, et cetera, for the people who would like to connect with each other. So that the location is the Sugar Hill Restaurant and Supper Club, which is 217 North Strand Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. So we definitely encourage everyone to attend. And that's definitely going to be a very powerful, powerful event.
Okay, I'm going to ask our engineer to open us up for questions, and we're going to be taking a station break soon. But before the station break, I'm going to try to get one more question in. What steps can a person take to prevent themselves from becoming a victim of medical apartheid?
Very good question. The first thing I will say is, one, get the proper knowledge about your city, your state, and the understanding of your medical condition. So you have to understand what you are dealing with medically, and then understand how your city, how your state handles that. Because most people don't understand that there are multiple solutions. They only look at the medical solution, just the medical this medication, when it may be a nutritional issue with you. As we know with Black people, our nutrition is really messed up. And that's just the reality. You know, we have diabetes, we have heart disease, we have all these different things, asthma, you name it. So we have to look at our own personal health condition. Then we have to look at how the city or the state handles that. And are there any other alternatives? Are there herbalists in the area, nutritionists in the area? Are there any naturopaths in the area? We have to seek out more than just the medical area. But if that is the only one we have, that is fine as well. And then also, of course, stand up for what you believe and make sure that your belief is supported and validated with the facts that you have. Don't just say, I believe it. Really understand why you believe it and have as many facts to support your belief. Because a lot of people right now are just saying, I don't trust this, I don't trust that, but they don't have any facts to back it up, or should I say any way to express it, verbalize it, you know, which is okay. But I think nowadays we shouldn't be lazy when it comes to our belief. We should be able to articulate it in a way where no one can defeat us, because is really what we are being forced to do, is truly understand how to communicate what it is that we believe.
Most certainly. So I'm going to ask our engineer if he will get Olita Adams and Al Jarreau to help us with this station break right here. This is WBAI 99.5 FM, and you're in the minefield. You're listening to Minefield on WBAI 99.5 FM. If you like our speakers, if you like our music, if you like the station, please donate by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Or by going online at give2wbai.org. That's give, the number 2, wbai.org.
A stick, a stone, it's the end of the road. It's the rest of a stump, it's a little alone. It's a sliver of glass, it is life. It's the sun, it is night, it is death. It's a trap, it's a gun.
The oak when it blooms, a fox in the brush. The night in the wood, the song of the thrush.
Okay, I realize that some of our listeners might not even know how to call into the station. It's a different number from calling to make a donation. If you want to talk and ask a question of Sister Richardina, myself, or Brother Rizza, please call 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And Brother Reggie, if any callers call in, you don't have to wait or hold them or send me any texts or anything like that. Just put them right in. So what's the worst example of medical apartheid or medical racism that you are aware of, or that in your opinion, Brother Rizza? You said that the Tuskegee experiment, many of us see that as being very, very terrible. You know, I know instances where people, in order to try to get treated for typhoid fever, there was a guy who would take his enslaved people and pour boiling water on them.
Oh, yeah.
As a potential, you know, treatment. So which are the ones that have stood out in your mind as maybe the worst, or worse than Tuskegee?
Oh, absolutely. I'll say one of the main ones actually was over here, for example, in Los Angeles. This is actually, again, it's not as large in number, but it is definitely large in negative and effectiveness and how they did it. But over here in California, in Los Angeles, particularly, 1,500 students in middle school were experimented on with a shot that was four times the actual dosage that their body was supposed to handle. That was in the mid-90s to early 2000s. And they were actually experimented on in a way where they were not being reported. These shots were being injected into the children. They were not being reported as far as what was going on. And it wasn't until later on when a whistleblower revealed what happened when it came to that circumstance. Most people know nothing about that. That's actually in the documentary. Another one, which is extremely, extremely massive, that was admitted by the Kenyan government, specifically in Nairobi, Kenya, was over 500,000 women in Nairobi, Kenya, were being injected with a tetanus shot that was sent out by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they had their laboratories take a sample of this shot by the Catholic Church in Nairobi, Kenya, and they found an anti-fertility chemical inside of the shot, and they called a halt to the injecting of this. This was widespread all over the news in Kenya. They sent a report up to the World Health Organization, the United Nations, the United States in particular. They sent all of this up to them and they said, what are you doing to our people? That was tried to be swept under the rug, but that was over 500,000 women in Kenya who are now currently sterile and unable to have children as a result of that shot. That one is one that is in the documentary as well, and a lot of people don't know about that one. Also, of course, the over 20,000 women who were sterilized in California prisons, black and brown, through the system of eugenics. When it comes to that, that didn't stop until the mid-2000s, is what people really don't understand. And they have done that to prisoners in Philadelphia. They've done to prisoners, I believe, in Louisiana. When it comes to, again, the eugenics movement, anyone who doesn't know about the eugenics movement, it's obvious and clear why they continue to talk about Tuskegee only if they don't know about eugenics, because that took place all throughout America. And that even inspired Adolf Hitler. When it comes to the shots, he gives credit to utilizing shots and injections to California as a result of what California was doing to black and brown prisoners when it came to sterilizing through vaccination. So this is much bigger than the 600 participants in Tuskegee.
You know, brother, and even when you said 600 right there, that a lot of people think it was 400. And, a lot of people think that it was done in secret. They actually published about 13 articles on that Tuskegee experiment.
That's right.
All during the times that they did it. And of course, they had 200 controls. One of the things I always wondered, what did they state was the purpose of the Tuskegee experiment? Or do you know? What were they trying to study? What did they say?
Their statement was that this was to help with bad blood, that these individuals had bad blood. I mean, we really have to understand language and how people use language and words to manipulate, to control, and to lie to us. It's always in the name of help. We want to cure you of bad blood, is what they said. And they used a black woman by the name of Eunice Rivers to get the not only attention, but also the loyalty and the trust of the brothers who participated, and it lasted for up to 40 years. So it was in the name of helping these men with their bad blood and their syphilis, etc. And they were withheld from treatment, but they were offered burial insurance and quote unquote free health checkups. So they could go in and get their checkups, and if they died, hey, we'll bury you. You know, don't worry about the cost of that.
Yes. I find that young millennials, their eyes glaze over when you talk about the Tuskegee experiment, because for them, that was something very, very long ago. But I remember, when the scandal hit in 1972, I was already, I was just about ready to go into medical school already. And by the time it really blew up, I was in medical school. So this happened in real time for me. And after the experiment, one of the things I always wondered, if they were supposed to be studying the natural course of syphilis, why would they give the men vitamin shots? There's a picture of some doctors giving them vitamin shots, or some health workers giving them vitamin shots. And among them were black doctors with pretty good reputation, such as Dr. Dibble. Also, in real time, the culprits who were, involved in this, like Dr. Henry Foster, it was just through a simple twist of fate that he wasn't the first black surgeon general. He was nominated by Bill Clinton, but his involvement in the Tuskegee experiment was his alleged involvement in it. Was something that that blocked him. It was thought that he had been in a meeting that was chaired by the head of the venereal sections of diseases at the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, a guy by the name of David Sensa. So he had called a meeting in 69 to determine if the experiment should continue on, and they voted that it should continue on. And it was alleged that Henry Foster was there, which he denied. So I ran into the author of the book. I didn't run into him. I actually went to a lecture where he was speaking of James Jones, the author of the book Bad Blood. And I asked him, you know, was Henry Foster real? Does he have any culpability in the Tuskegee experiment? Because it was hard to see. And he told me about a part of the experiment that a lot of the people didn't know, which was it would do you no good to not give the men treatment if you were trying to study the natural course of syphilis. If when the person got pneumonia or something else out in the community, they gave him antibiotics. So they had to let every physician and practitioner and hospital in the area know, don't give antibiotics to these people right here because they're a part of an experiment. And he said that at that time, Henry Foster, he said, was the head of the National Medical Association down there, local chapter of it. He said, so there's no way that he didn't know about that. And it's a sad, you know, commentary on how Black professionals can get pulled into this medical apartheid. So the last question I have is if you'll tell us again how people can get in touch with you and or get in touch with the people who are, you know, putting on the programs, how they can call and get information, because some of the information we can't really give right here.
Absolutely. Well, to get in touch with myself, if you go to my website, rizaislam.com, you can scroll down to a message area where you can send a message with your name, email, and phone number, and that will go straight to my team, including if it's for bookings or to set up interviews, events, etc. Or if you just want to send us a message, you go to rizaislam.com to do that. And also for the New York event, that is this Sunday, the first showing is from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. The second is from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And to get tickets there, you'll go to my Instagram page, which is under @themostcensored. And you go to the link in the bio there, you'll be able to get the tickets for that event.
Okay, great. Brother Rissa, we can't thank you enough for coming on and talking to us. Richardina, thank you for helping me co-host. And what we're going to do now is we're going to leave, and Brother Reggie's going to play some music for us, I think, on the way out. I think Olita and Brother Al Jarreau are back again with us. And I'm giving him all that lead time so he can put it on already. You know, put that piece of music on for us, please.
On the Minefield on WBAI 99.5 FM. If you like us, our topics, our guests, our music, or you just like the station, please donate by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950, or by going online at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org.
A snake, a stick, it is John Joe. It's a thorn in your hand, and a cut on your toe.
Right here on WBAI, the Harlem Connection connects you to some of the legendary artists who helped to make Harlem the cultural mecca that it is. And rhythmandsoulradio.com, they play a lot of the great independent artists who you should know. This week, we are joining forces for an episode called The Harlem Connection. To rhythmandsoulradio.com, where we will only play independent artists who have graced the stages throughout Harlem. We hope you'll check us out Friday at 10 o'clock p.m. or Sunday, 3 a.m. or on demand, wbai.org/archive, The Harlem Connection.